Gentlemen, we're delighted that you're here today. We appreciate the fact that you've taken the time to be here. And we appreciate the fact that you serve on this committee. We are undertaking the process of revisiting all the committees and all the boards that the county commission appoints and trying to get those boards in line with original appointment dates, vacancies that were created, additional appointments that were made, so that there's the correct flow to every board that the county works with or oversees. And this is one of those boards that, since I've become county commission, I haven't sat in on. I apologize for that, but we intend to change that. We intend, as a commission, to be frequently visiting all the different boards that are working on behalf of the county and the commissions. And we thought that it would be a good idea if we just sat down and had a general discussion about the committee itself, the districts, the way that they're drawn, I think was the primary reason, at least, or secondary reason, at least, for the meeting, to talk about what your thoughts are about those district boundaries. If you think the district boundaries are where they should be, should we consider something different? What you've been doing, what you would like to see from us in the way of assistance and support, and how we can best help you to achieve what you've been charged with achieving. And rather than me talk about a board that you guys know more about than I do, I think that I should hear from you. I know that, you know, Beth mentioned earlier about the meeting that was just held regarding establishing priorities for roads and for other transportation modes. And I know, and it's probably been over 4 years ago when I went with you all up to Springfield and we sat in that meetings, and I saw the process as to how that worked. And there was really a lot of strong lobbying that was done, and I think that the districts that came out the best were the ones that lobbied the most effectively when you talk to the other districts. But I'd like to get your input on that too, how we could assist you by being a part of that or not being a part of that, but just a lot of questions in general discussion. So let me ask if I could get some comments from you all.
Yeah, sounds great. We appreciate it. I don't remember how many years we've been in existence, but we've been meeting monthly, and I think we've made some good progress and had good results from it. Some years back, I'm not sure how it happened, I was railroaded into being chairman.
Missed a meeting.
But we have the seven districts, and you recall we came up with a priority list of each district submitted, I can't remember now, 5 to 10 road projects or transportation issues that were a priority, and then you all funded a consultant to come in and analyze them and rate them based on safety and volume and access to opportunities and capacities, and came up with a pretty good list. And then, and it's in really small font, and we got details on every project, and then Brandy's been working good on plucking off some of them. The chart itself, you can see there's different colors. The browns are still in the chart, but green ones are done, and the red and orange at the top are underway or in some stage, so it's working.
Before we go any further, Shannon, upstairs on this breakdown, don't we have one that's a larger print that we blew up? That, if you could bring that down for us, that'd be great.
And I think that it has helped. I know I've gone with meetings to the MoDOT, the Transportation Advisory Council of MoDOT. The fact that you all have this in place has got us some movement to get ahead of other counties and get some funding, or at least be higher up on the list because it's so well done and it's consistent with how MoDOT does these kind of processes. But some of the things we want to talk to you about is the districts, and we're lacking some representatives from one of the districts. And lately we've been talking about rail issues and some of the bridge issues in the county, and we wanted to explore those options, opportunities too, and what we can do to help you all prioritize some of the low water crossings and the bridges. So, and I was around when we came up with these districts, and just to give you my quick summary of it, what it was, and the instructions Branson's GIS department actually given was come up with seven districts and based on number of parcels. And divided on something that's logical, rivers or highways, and that's what he came up with. So it's even number of parcels. Some obviously in districts 3 and 2 on the eastern side are large acreage, and number 6 in southern Branson is small because the lots are little. But that's what it was based on, is equal number of property owners and parcels. And I think it's worked fine as far as the committee. I think each district's been pretty well representative, except for 3 here lately. But we each bring our projects forward, and you funded an update of the priority list, and that went well. But we just need to know whether you want us to move forward or where we're going with it. And these guys are better speakers than I am, so each have lots too.
Let me, because I've been remiss in doing so, state first that the 3 county commissioners are here for this meeting, and our road and bridge supervisor, Randy Hayes. And if I get each of you to mention who you are for the record and for those that are listening, then we'll continue.
I should have thought that. I'm David Miller, I'm the chairman of the committee.
Ron Newman, representing District 5.
Jim Youngblood, District number 7.
Doug Muller, District 2.
Rick Zegenfuss, District 1.
And I was District 6, I didn't say the number.
Excellent. Well, first on the boundaries and the selection to do it by parcels, I don't have any objection to that. It was just a question that was raised. And you all are expressing, if I'm understanding, that it's certainly acceptable to the
I believe so. No members have stated any problem with it.
Well, it's been very manageable from the standpoint of getting feedback from our people out in the field and the homeowners. Issues have arisen, for instance, in District 5, all the way out to Embry Creek area, housing, and there are a number of traffic signal issues that have bubbled up because of the high growth rate, at least in my district and I know other districts. But the District 5 has been very manageable as far as being able to handle the feedback and the input that we've been getting and then passing it on to the committee to handle and take care of. So, at least from District 5's representation.
District number 3, I think, would be our situation right now. We haven't got anybody in District number 3. And basically from the commissioner standpoint, if we have someone to get a point over in that particular area, have someone in mind, Ron would be helpful to get that vacancy filled. To follow through with what Ron's saying is that...
There's no restriction as to whether or not an individual lives in the incorporated area.
Well, it'd be best if they did, of course, but I don't think there's a restriction.
Incorporated, no, city boundaries were irrelevant.
But having said that, also is that, though I represent District number 7, if someone in District number 3's got a problem, I'm willing to listen. And I think we all do that. But that void needs to be filled, and because we need to input from that area.
We've had a couple of people, and they, mapping-wise, they laid a quarter of a mile or so over in another district, so we had problems filling those. We searched and had people volunteer, so that has been a problem as far as the way the roads lay. We want to have representation from that area also.
And on your map, Ron, I'll show you Technicus. I would be more than happy with the way right there is where I live. So I'm just all over heading to 3. I'm just off the edge of 2. So
Brian Caperton, who is not here today, lives.
He
lives across the boundary. His house is in one side, but he owns property. His parcel cuts the boundary, so he would be willing to move around if, in fact, we could find someone in one district or the other. And at least from my perspective, as important as it is to live in the district, it may be as important just for the district to have a representative. Even if for example, in District Three, if we couldn't find anybody that particularly resided there, but they were close, but they still were the voice of District Three and represented District Three projects, I think that would be preferable to not having anyone, as we've had for a couple of years since Buddy Roberts has left, so.
But with what he's just informed me is we've taken care of that potentially if we move him and then look in within District Number Two.
And that's.
Either way, we need.
That's a possibility. Both of those far eastern districts are large and their population base is different than it is when we get into the western districts where there's a lot of people and a lot of choices and they're small. So anyway, but whether it's two or three.
Gotcha.
Bill, the input that you have on that side on two and three, a lot of those are low water crossings or small bridges or anything like that. And the county itself has taken care of two or three pretty bad situations over there. And as I look at the membership of this transportation board, I feel like that each member here would be, even if they lived in five or six or whatever, they have a concern for the welfare of the whole entire county. And that's the way that I guess as we have been lax in not having someone out of those areas because we have done projects as counties on smaller levels, and that's what you run into when you get over there. We had a FEMA project there with on the Pro Tem Cedar Creek Road. We have low water bridges. We have a bridge over at Pro Tem that's been talked about, and there has been improvements over in that area on different roads before the establishment of the district, because it was a have to case. And so Broken Bridge took care of the problem so people, our citizens, could get in and out. If we had major projects in that particular area, then the voice to the state would be stronger, I think, if we had a unified district with members from that particular area. So
when you did the low water crossing, do you have a certain fund you set so much aside each year for low water crossing repairs?
Usually that goes with whatever the road is. If we're considering improvement of that particular road, then if it has a low water crossing on it that needs repair or anything, then we include that in that total project cost.
We consider that early on in budget time when we're going through the budget with Randy and with the other members of that administrative team for R&B, and then they fill us in on what they see at the time that is needed. Not that that can't change during the year because of storms or washouts, but that's when we go through that.
We had a good discussion on the bridge situation last meeting, Randy, and we had, 12 that was termed as functionally obsolete?
Well, they were eligible for BRO funding. They're actually on loadouts radar for type of funding. What Jim here brought up the question on deficiencies within our bridge structures, and there are several types of deficiencies and what makes them eligible. So I've given them basic broad overview of all of our structures throughout the county, not just ours, but also city of structures. What is MoDOT inspected, what qualifies for MoDOT inspection, and where they're at. And basically there's 59 of those structures throughout the county. And each one of them MoDOT rates, and we have 12 that are on their deficiency list for various reasons. Some of them may be loading, load posting, some of them may be the approaches, stream bed, or different reasons for why they're deficient. And, but the key things you look at is structural type deficiencies, and we don't have any that MoDOT would close right now, but we do have several that we need to look at and discuss, basically come up budget time and look at those and see if any of them, you know, we can fund or at least move forward with doing some type of work too, so.
Gets forth the eyes and ears in District 3, a lot of low water structures there. And my next question is there any funds earmarked, does the commission earmark any funds to set aside for those deficiencies in addressing those?
When we go through budget hearings, there's it just depends on where we're setting dollar-wise for that particular year, what we have set out. Now, one thing that I don't understand.
Well, the direct answer is yes.
Yes.
Okay. We set aside certain monies within the budget based upon the recommendations of Randy and the other administrative staff with R&B. They tell us what they think we're going to need to do that year positively, and that's the goal that we work toward.
Well, one of our main goals here, of course, is safety. That's top priority on our matrix list. And if we have those bridges that are termed as functionally obsolete, it certainly is an area that needs to be addressed on an ongoing basis, I think. And as you say, in District Number 3 is where the flood water crossings are. And I didn't know if you had those funds earmarked during the year to do that or not.
A lot of those are state.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
A lot of those are state projects. I can't, I think one, the two bridges at ProTown, which have the least traffic of any, but they're one-lane bridges on the main highway. We haven't addressed those. I think maybe a little more emphasis on either building a bridge side by side. They're both concrete bridges, but as you come to them, they all one lane down, and then they have been a concern of mine as far as safety. Someone build a big fire right in the middle of one of those bridges one night when we were coming through there. There was a big fire right in the middle. Well, there's no way to get around. So it had emergency vehicles had a problem, would have had a problem trying to get in and out, any kind of sheriff's department or anybody else trying to get through there. But the bridge structures themselves, I don't know whether they are on that list of structural failure.
They're not on our, that would be on MoDOT's own list, the two that you're basically describing.
I've got to step out for just a minute and make a quick call. She came and got me. But explain again, sometimes when a bridge is listed as functionally obsolete, as he started to say, it's because there's not sweeping enough curb that was built years before and they want a certain distance as you're coming in. Not that the bridge itself is unsafe, but there may be something that they say, this could work better if you did this or you did that, and that's how they get designated that way.
Functionally obsolete doesn't concern me as much as a structurally deficient.
Yes, correct.
And Randy gave us a very, very thorough report, excellent report on which we raised that question from that standpoint.
Partially, and one thing I do is I go through the inspection reports, and if anything during our inspection sticks out, that was something that I bring to the commission's attention if there's something critical. I mean, we'll look at that pretty quickly. The other one is something that I'll bring you guys information, bring to the commission during budget time, is we have a list of structures that are on MoDOT's list for inspection. We also have about 60 other low water type structures throughout the county that doesn't, because they're not on an inspection list of MoDOT's because they don't meet the criteria, but all in total, we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 structures throughout the county, or range from small to fairly good sized low water structures. An example of one that I give to you is Bull Creek. Doesn't meet MoDOT's criteria, but it is a fairly large structure and one we do maintenance work periodically on. We're currently working on one right now over there off Acacia Club. It's a low water structure. It was basically, it doesn't receive any inspection through MoDOT, but it's one that is breaking up, cracking up. We're redoing that low water structure. It's not heavily used, but it's one that we need to repair. We'll get that one completed basically that year. That we would absorb just through maintenance costs somewhere within the budget. Now, set aside a big structure, that was something that we'd need to plan and kind of set aside budget money if we want to do a bridge replacement type structure.
So. We have probably 4 years in a row up to Round Mountain on Bull Creek. That bridge over there is it's a one-lane bridge as you cross it, and it's dangerous, and there's a lot of people that I think there's even a school bus that travels across that bridge, and when it washes up, it needs to be. But it's a it's been estimated anywhere from 900,000 to 1.2 million to redo that bridge. That kind of money eliminates a lot of the small projects and safety projects that we have in the county, although it is an extremely unsafe area. They have to go all the way around, I think, don't they?
Yeah.
Randy, to get a school bus across it. And so it's one that needs to be attended to through the, it's just one of those county bridges that he's talking about that needs to be looked at and something I've done about it. Now, we've had two proposals from two different private ownerships that were going to go 50-50 on the cost because they were property owners on the other side, and both those fell through before they completed, you know, the paperwork to get it signed. Things like that. Anytime we have a school bus route, of course, just like you do, that we prioritize that as a major safety issue, wherever a school bus would cross one of the low water places. So.
Randy did a great job in presenting us about 60 different bridges of database, inspection database. Looked like it was an excellent job in the inspection routine. But we were a bit concerned when 10%, actually 11% if you look at the numbers, of those bridges were at the maximum speed restriction on them set because of the condition of those bridges. They weren't high water bridges, they were low water bridges, but they had transverse fissures in the decks, and one of those bridges had a 1-inch deflection on the pier. And it was at the lowest rating that Randy has set up, a rating of 2 on one of those bridges. So not that they're, you know, critical failures that are going to happen, but they were kind of indicative. We were a little bit surprised when we saw that excellent display of inspections going on, which helps to drive towards identifying, you know, those conditions. But when you have 10% of those bridges that needs something done to them to get the definitive speed restrictions off them and get those transverse fissures, and if there's a deflection of a pier of 1 inch, that's not a good indication. So we talked about those issues with Randy, and of course all of those take some funding over time and program funding, and so those were some of the concerns that bubbled up out of this latest review.
That is something that I wanted to mention to you guys with when you were talking about the school buses, and a little off topic, but through working with Randy and Harlan Collins, just amazing at how good of a job they do on anything any of our drivers call, whether it be limbs, potholes, or even like in the snow, we had, when, you know, this year we missed 22 days and would have probably missed more like 25 or 26 if those boys wouldn't have helped us so much on actually, you'll give them lists, here's our routes, and, you know, they prioritized all those roads, and it definitely made a difference on getting us back in. But they do just an outstanding job on any time we have a driver call about anything, within a day or two, them boys are out there and fixing it. But just pretty impressive. So don't think that the school buses being a priority is just something being said. They're doing it all the way down to the boys out there pouring the asphalt into holes we're bouncing through. So they're doing a fine job. But, and that's the thing with, now that, why should they're technically that, I live onto the edge of three, they're between two and three. As far as like feedback, 11 of our 15 bus routes through Forsyth are in two. So we do get a lot of feedback of what's actually, you know, road conditions and what's happening.
Those that lay outside the county are totally different than what we prioritize, I guess, for state assistance from MoDOT. I don't know exactly how we address that as each year as budget time comes forward. We address the needs, and like I said, the phone calls that come in, that's more of a maintenance issue, but the priority list that, like Beth presented to us this morning, those are state projects that sometimes we try to partnership, and you hear them talk a lot about partnership with Taney County, and us being one of the best partners that they have throughout the state. So those projects are in a different category than some of these low water bridges that we have that comes out of our half cent sales tax.
I think we've all hit on kind of the crux of the discussion about the need for number three, and if you like the way we've progressed, we'll probably ask for funds in the future to keep the list updated.
And I think we've done that at least once, haven't we?
I think some observations are just facts bearing on the issue here. A number of projects have been on the list and have been completed. So new projects have been brought in. Some of those have been completed in a variety of ways. And some of them have been completed, like, for example, F Highway and 160. That has been just simple as striping and a little bit of a concrete island and getting MoDOT to go against their, where they're having a letter route as the through route and a numbered route as the stop condition. And that, but through the advisory board, I think that MoDOT accepted what we were asking to have done there, and that's helped that intersection. And then there's been a number of intersections along that particular area that have been on the list around Rockaway and that's helped. I think Forsyth has gotten, at least in the county, Forsyth's project was number two.
Let's see, the 76 was number two, but Forsyth's made it onto the state list.
Yes. Yeah, so a lot of productive things that have come out of the advisory board. We've talked a great deal about bridges, that's been the most recent discussion, but rail, the integration into rail service for the county that we spent a great deal of time on looking at that and discussing, bringing ourselves, educating. Ron's been very capable in that. So a piece here that I want to just go over real quickly, because this is the original methodology on all of this stuff, so that we kind of, this is something that gets lost once in a while, but each member serves a four-year term and a maximum of three terms. So some of us that are in term two, a ways down term two, we would have a maximum of one more term, and then a bunch of board members will have to start, or the rules have to change it. That's at your pleasure. Districts 3, 5, and 7 initially were two-year terms. So I'm not sure when this was contemplated, if that's one of their three terms or if that was a freebie. I don't know how that goes, but that was kind of unclear. 1, 2, 4, and 6 are started off initially as four-year terms. They would fit into the 3-4-year term format. So that, I guess my point about discussing all of that is the fact that right now we have three or two, however we're going to decide that, but within the next term, then we're going to start having people termed off. So just something to think about. So any of those types of things. Some of the pieces of this have been the direction that we went, and some of them haven't. Cost estimates for a three-year plan, three plans, a three-year, a five-year, and a 10-year plan. Recommended road projects should only include that those projects that a cost estimate of $250,000 or more. And actually our projects have some pretty modest projects in there and then some larger projects in there. And I guess the reason that I'm just kind of thumbing through this was, I think, contemplated by Frank Preston and Jim Strophas initially, was the start of the writing on this. I don't know exactly who was the rest of the input to this, but I would say at some particular point in time, this may merit just some review to make sure that we're doing what you want us to do and kind of go from there. There's, along with there are some paragraph narratives that talk about some of the things, and most of the narratives here are things that we have done. Again, this was an initial concept, and somehow or another we've just said, well, that was kind of the thought process or the concept. Well, now we're using it as rules, and I'm not sure it just quite fits as rules. So for whatever that's worth, something to think about. There's been a number of rosters that have been made. One of the things that's a little unclear to me is this a roster that you guys' office manage, or is this something that we're just supposed to maintain, or how does that happen?
Rick, let me tell you, we're in the process of going through a lot of different boards. We just reconfigured the IDA board. Mm-hmm. We dropped by when we started that process. And I worked with them to make a proposal to do a number of bylaw changes so that we can get up and running, be fresh and current. I would suggest that we do that same thing. I'll be glad to work with, but I would appreciate having at least one or two of you to sit down with and accept your knowledge and experience based upon the board and all the work that you've done and your thoughts on this. But I'd sure be glad to do that, just like I did with the group that I brought in when you were there for a short period of time with IDA. And we're looking at a couple of others that, as I look back on previous years for appointments in different years, those have got out of whack. And that's what we're trying to do, is to make sure that we've got everything right moving forward with every board, commission, and committee that we have. So I really think we need to do that with this.
Ultimately, how do boards, or the framework or the administrative rules of boards, where do they reside?
Many of them are contained within Missouri law, mm-hmm. the statutes themselves, and it's fairly easy for us, if they're staggered terms and they're four-year terms and a couple of them or three of them are two, that means your second round of terms are 4 years. It's generally considered, well, it's not either. It's half and half as to whether or not you consider that first half a term a full term or a half a term. But that can be decided by us once that initial board has been made. And I think that when we make those decisions and reconfigure, we can go from this point forward clean and can address the different issues that are contained within there, such as, is that the end after 3 years? And, but those are decisions that we can make locally. And based upon recommendations from you all, I'm going to recommend to this county commission that pretty much that's the direction that we move forward. But I'll be glad to be a part of that and sit with you.
One thing that would help me is if we were going to make changes to this, if there was any of this material existing in word processing, if there was word documents, that we wouldn't have to start retyping all of it in as an original document. And it's not a lot, it's a few pages, but if we had something that was in your file someplace that could get emailed or whatever, we can mark on that, or we can make some suggested comments to it.
We have found some. We've only looked a little into this particular board. We have found some. But what's not there, we will reconstruct so that we can, in fact, manipulate that down the way you want.
I also will add my voice to the other members of the board, but I feel it's been productive. And I think it's helped Taney County be competitive. And right now, in the old days when we were competing with 10 counties rather than 21, that was pretty competitive. That's when we were going to those meetings. Right. David continues to go to those, but now we're competing with 21 counties. So when we show up with a format that MoDOT recognizes almost identically as their own, it's pretty easy to step across and say, we'll take this project up, because right there it is. Or if they ask a question about, how does this relate with safety, how does this relate with economic development, how does this relate with the system, it's already evaluated and is there. So I think that's big dividends. And I think MoDOT regionally will tell you in Southwest District, we probably have, Taney County has the best handle on transportation priorities of any of the other counties. So, and that includes Joplin and some of those. Even Springfield doesn't have something quite as well developed as this. So Greene County doesn't. So that's been a huge step forward too, I think. And I just think that this type of a committee is one of those core committees that can keep the county where it wants to be in transportation, able to address issues from county residents about where their project is or where they're not. So at any rate, I think that's good. I also can see that we're going to have some opportunities coming up with MoDOT not having money. And we talked a little bit about this at our last board, but I would share this with the commission. It's unreasonable to believe that MoDOT will never have money. They just don't have money right now, but there will be a fix to this at some point. And it's been my experience that once that fix comes along, then a bunch of people will start getting in the queue to take that new money and put it into new projects. I would recommend for the commission's consideration that we start planning on some of our priority projects now so that we have plans or at least scoping available so that when money does come, we can flop that out in front of MoDOT and say, here's a quick win for you right here. And they will look for projects that say, we got money in June, and by the end of the year, we've already started projects or finished projects that have made a significant difference, and so we are using that money wisely. And I would think, rather than wait on that, I would think we would have two or three projects on the shelf ready to go. And so some of the money that I think might be prudent here, as well as maintaining the matrix and doing some of that, is that we do determine some high-impact projects that we may be able to start, at least the initial planning phase, maybe getting figuring out how much right-of-way we would need for things like that, a preliminary design, those kinds of things, so that if MoDOT does or when MoDOT does get money, that we would be very competitive right off the bat instead of waiting for everybody to catch up with us and then we'd all be in the big pile again. So just something that the board has talked about and I think I certainly support. So
the interesting thing about funding, the state highway funds have been drying up. Interestingly enough, the rail funds opportunities looking up to the future have become more abundant. the Obama administration, the federal funds that are available through the Federal Railroad Administration for developmental projects, be it a rail industry track for a town or township, for the freight side, or for commuter service, say for a transit or a trolley system down the strip at Branson, or for tourist service, maybe a demonstration train type service out of Chicago to St. Louis, Springfield, Aurora, Branson, Hollister. Those kind of funds are available already. There's projects going on all across the United States right now. There's about 60 different projects under Tiger funds, federal funds that have been put forward across the U.S. in the last 5 to 6 years. The state, Missouri DOT Rail Division, have met with us several times. A year ago, we reviewed their 20-year rail plan for the northern part of Missouri. They're spending $1.4 billion, the state is, on operating the River Runner train that they operate between St. Louis and Kansas City as we speak. That service is improving. So Missouri DOT has been down here to meet with us at least once, and they're interested in supporting with us some partnerships. Of course, it takes sponsors out in the local community, businesses that want to invest in those areas. But those partnerships are available, so we've been looking, and the funds are there. Again, interestingly enough, as the state highway funds have dried up, the federal funds, the state funds, the state of Missouri Rail Division has $1.4 billion in their 20-year rail plan. And that's all right now dedicated to northern Missouri. Chairman David Miller sent a letter forward a year or so ago to Missouri DOT desiring to partner with us and meet with us, that we'd like to see at least 50% of that $1.4 billion come down here to southwest Missouri for partnership development efforts here. So we've got those going on in the background, and we will be probably sending out surveys, looking for companies here in the area that want to be the champions to sponsor some of those. There's some independent developments already going on, for instance, transit systems in the Branson area that will be coming to the city of Branson in the near term. Their own development efforts, but in the big picture, we'd like to be working with MoDOT, just as we have done over the years on the highway side, in the rail development side, and particularly going after those funds. So we're looking at all those opportunities, and we'll be keeping you posted whenever a significant opportunity comes up. Just as a sidelight, there is a demonstration project going on over in Oklahoma right now between Tulsa and Oklahoma City, a project called the Eastern Flyer. It's a vintage train that the operator ran three demonstration trains back in February of this year. And the trackage over there, the state DOT, Oklahoma DOT, owns that railroad between Oklahoma City and Tulsa. They've run three demonstration trains over there, and it went very, very well. They were sold out, and they are bidding to undergo and deploy permanent service. The time frame on that decision making is the end of this month, so it's coming up very quickly. Iowa Pacific Corporation out of Chicago is sponsoring those demonstration trains that have already run and proven to be successful in getting the ridership. But they have proposed to own the trackage. Right now, the state of Oklahoma owns that railroad between Oklahoma City and Tulsa. And Iowa Pacific Corporation would like to gain ownership of it and start operation by Memorial Day with at least 8 trains a week operating in that corridor to support basically commuter-type service, going to universities, ball games, and regular people commuting to work. That same type of model is what we're looking at to perhaps do some demonstration runs also over in the Missouri area, perhaps into, again, from Chicago to St. Louis, to Branson and to Hollister. So that model is already out there. It's underway. We're taking a hard look at it, and we will want to learn from their experiences and exposures. But there are companies out there that are trying on and wanting to deploy those resources. So this is an opportunity for Southwest Missouri to perhaps, you know, going forward, to take opportunity to get those services. And so we're taking a hard look at them, and we're discussing those as we go along. In a nutshell, that's what I just wanted to pass along on the rail perspective of where we're at right now. We're looking at all of those opportunities and wanting to work in very closely with Missouri DOT. We won't go out anything on our own. It needs to be a strong partnership with Missouri DOT, the rail division.
One thing that I will share too is another board that I hold very successfully in high regard is the Taney County Economic Partnership. And so there's a synergism between these two boards. For example, when we debrief our large economic plans, like when we have the Insight Consulting firm gives us the economic development scores and that, I invite Nita Horton, who is the business development manager for Missouri Northern Arkansas Railroad, or now, I guess it's still, what's the name of the parent company now?
It's Genesee and Wyoming. Nationwide has several subsidiaries to them.
So anyway, she's invited and attends on behalf of rail in support of economic development. So there's this multi-phase approach. Last Wednesday, I met with a lady named Amy Ludwig. Amy Ludwig is the state aviation administrator for MoDOT, to make sure that she's aware of our plans and that we supported Senate Bill 818, which doesn't necessarily mean very much, but it releases air service development funds at a lower threshold. In the past, they were released when the aviation fund got to $6 million. Well, of money in that account. Well, since 2008, it's never achieved that, and so they have money in that account that doesn't get used. And so they believe a realistic threshold is $4.5 million to release air service development money. And Taney County has gotten that money in the past, but being it hasn't been released for several years, we haven't gotten any of that. When I had left, it had passed the Senate, and it did. I had a good chance of passing the House. So I think that that's the kind of thing that a comprehensive look at transportation, you know, immediately comes to mind road and bridge, but certainly I think the Transportation Advisory Board has taken into account a larger scope too, and I think that's very important for our future, is that we prosecute this effort across a broad front rather than just simply road and bridge, and that we attract funds from all of those resources into the county so that we don't have to do all this heavy lifting ourselves. That's going on too.
Out there at the airport in particular, where you've got the rail system, you've got air, and you've got the highway all side by side, there are a good target area for an industrial park that the rail division funds would support that kind of development. And so multimodal, intermodal locations, they seem to be getting the first approval on the Obama funds nationwide. Anywhere you've got intermodal capabilities, that's getting the funding.
As a side note, in the first week of March, I got to meet the Secretary of Transportation when I was in Washington, and he was chatting about our area. He says, I've never been there. I would really like to come there. In my car, and I said, I want you to call, and we chatted up a bit, and he said, how are things going there? But blah, 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 and tourism. And somebody prepped me for even to know who I was, that's for sure. And I said, we need rail. So looked at the little girl. Not that that'll ever go anywhere, but Rick knows sometimes that's a great start, just who you bump into.
With Mr. Morris's activities down there, and of course you have contact with that, that'd be appreciated. That I think that the Highway 86 extension across the rail line and over to the airport would help immensely. That's on our priority matrix. I would recommend that if we're going to do some scoping, that might be a high priority plan. The thing that would be important is that doesn't get overbuilt, or that land doesn't get dedicated to another use where we couldn't get a utility corridor through there. Then this fits in with the master plan of central services, with the county and the regional sewer district providing central wastewater collection through that corridor. So we get a road in there, we've got rail access, we've got the airport, we've got central services. Along with what Mr. Morris is doing, we could, again, probably find some fairly significant private investment for an industrial park that could give us a whole new dimension, another 20 years of expansion to some of the areas that we really need to do to diversify. So there's a lot of very positive things going on. We just need to continue to try and tie those together as they come available. So that's actually pretty exciting compared to where we were maybe 10, 15 years ago, where some of this stuff was just out of reach. It was just so far away from where we could be. Plus, with the Economic Development Partnership, they have the professional tools to show what we have now and to expose the world to Taney County. But we just need to make sure that we're ready for the world to take a look at us. And so a few of these things, the biosolids project, huge step forward. The transportation infrastructure, with the recent plats there in Hollister, the beginning of the East-West Corridor road lockdown, just a lot of positive stuff going on. So Branson's got a couple of large projects going on. Forsyth has the three laning of the highway through town is high on the priority matrix. So that's all very positive stuff. Jobs. There's a lot of jobs. And Mountain Beans, we have OTC here, but we can actually make a difference on creating a qualified workforce. That's a huge step forward, too. So a lot of good stuff going on.
Any other topics we need to touch on?
I'd like to go back just very quickly to the existing, I don't know if you call those bylaws, the paperwork that you have, or yeah, rules or guidelines.
I think it was just called some kind of a...
a couple of you, unless you
summary of methodology. That's what this is titled.
I would love to sit with one or two of you and compile something and get it out to everybody else in the commission. Sometime.
Okay.
Sounds good. All right.
Before I leave here, we'll go upstairs. We'll make a copy of this so that you guys have that. And then if somebody can find that in word processing, we got a place to start.
Perfect.
Okay, get something set up.
If we had a mapping layout for your project on extension of 86, stem line off of the rail to the airport, just a overview of a map that would show those locations so that... just what you said a little ago about someone going in there and building a subdivision right through where exactly where you want to take a stem line for the railroad.
We could probably cope with a subdivision, but if it's a wilderness-looking lodge, that might be harder.
Right, but I'm talking about to just dead end the project.
I know.
Be anything like that would. Would stop that. Now, another thing I think that you showed a while ago was the projects that were completed. You know, I can think of several that we have partnered with with MoDOT on. And as we threw the list down in front of them, if you know, the partnership of some of they're small, some of them were rather large, you know, like the bridge there, Branson, originated, T Highway, BB, all those out this way, H Highway, F Highway, things like that, a list of those completed projects where there was, not on their behalf, we'd have projects that we partnered on and projects that they did because of this board's recommendation. Some of the low water bridges a while ago that were main effect to school routes, the Trigger Creek, which is numerous people that live in that area down there now, where you have something that's rather simple to fix, but a major view to the public and major view to MoDOT as an accomplishment to put a, just cut those tin horns out that they've got down there and raise a small type bridge or box opening to that area. That gives you another, those are all over the county, but I'm just using that one for an example, because it's a bus route. And if they can't go there, they have to go all the way down through Arkansas to get back into school routes. But those are things that are scattered all over the county. And if we had a, just as Randy has provided there with that completion needs, I think it, that's what we're looking for, as far as help from MoDOT and even federal funding on some of these bigger projects. You show what a partner you've been, a good partner to present projects, complete projects, and benefit the community is something that would be, maybe have some rating behind it.
We still have some projects which are lesser projects, which are safety issues that we have yet to find funds for. For instance, out in the Branson Hills area where we've had the new high school develop, the new transportation system out there, the new intermediate school, and all that development of the high school area, we have lack of signalization at Buchanan Road and Highway 248, where buses and children and parents are coming back and forth every day. And then also Branson Hills Parkway and 248 are two high candidate items that are on the priority list here. But we've been carrying them over from year to year because they're not large enough projects to go after MoDOT funding for, but they're still safety issues. That development is taking place so rapidly there in the Branson Hills area in District 5 with the school development that it surpassed the ability to get, and there's new roads in there, that's all a new area. The lack of signalization on Highway 248 is a safety issue that we need to go after, in my opinion, to get some funds and get that alleviated, the potential traffic conditions. And all of the ratings that MoDOT has done traffic-wise, they're all high on our list of priority, but we just have not gotten that done yet.
It's almost a growth area. It's been, I guess, 6 years now since we extended the outer line to 248. Did a lot of work out there that at the county's expense to bring that on through. We've talked to Dr. Hyder about coming this way with a three or four lane. We've got situations with our road and bridge building sitting in exactly the wrong place in that location. So there's a lot of things, like you said, that need to take place, but it's just happening so fast that you can't hardly keep up with it at that point. The mention of it by Dr. Hyder about 3 years ago was it's a dangerous situation if you go out there and pick up your kids or somebody else's, you know, to have to try to get through there. Kids driving on the wrong side.
You have curves on Highway 248 and poor sight distance, and then there's no signalization. You have to depend on people stopping and observing the stop signs. looking both ways several times, and then taking a leap out there every time you go out.
Yeah, they've definitely, you know, with, and it's one of those with Dr., you know, they're, we talked about this some before, you know, basically they're making it the dangerous situation. You know, they keep, as they keep adding stuff into one location, you know, it's definitely, it's growing so fast, because you put up a new school and all of a sudden you went from, you know, you might not have any traffic to, you know, here's thousands more cars every day that's going to be trying to use those same intersections.
There's only two ways in there.
Yep.
So at least 50% of the people, if not more, parents and kids and buses are using those unprotected intersections every day.
I'm sensing from what you're saying, Danny, is that we know what's going to happen south. In that you want this board to take a look there, make some recommendations in regard to some future development there and how we can look at maybe the extension of 86.
Have an overview of that. And have that presented as a priority, one of our priorities that would be presented, because believe you me, those people are, Mr. Morris and them, they're making plans already for something to go through there, and there's no need in us being one step behind instead of one step ahead of the situation. Work with them instead of trying to work against a project that would benefit the whole county, well, the whole area. Yeah, I mean,
that ties in with the rail situation, the airport, et cetera, et cetera.
When you're talking about everything that you mentioned, that right. Ties in, that one project itself ties in with that entire scope of things that you're talking about.
You're right, because it could potentially, don't get something done quick, it could be, the whole thing could be dead over, you know, just not be able to get anything right through there if they...
Well, we know that there's going to be some development there that's going to happen. Well, we serve at the pleasure of this commission, and if if you're asking that, I think we need to take it up on our agenda.
You know, there's this, Johnny Morse has already bought stem line locations out to JJ Highway, and they're not wide enough for anything but exits from overloads of traffic. Where, and it's just unfamiliar to you, but where J.C. Booth and Warren's and all them are at, he has a narrow strip through there about that's probably 200 or 300 yards wide, you know, it's not anything that he's got for development. It's coming straight from the old Murder Rock bridge there. So those kind of things are things that we need to be in, you know, trying to find out what he wants to do there to assist. Maybe that's what he's got planned. I don't know what he's got planned, but I'm saying maybe that's what he's got planned to come through out on that end or something.
There's a continued question about the agreement that they have with the former Branson Creek and GEP on that interchange there at their current entrance, too. You know, they were given a deadline that they either had to close that entrance or put in an interchange. That's still an alive agreement with MoDOT, even though that's changed hands some. And that could be problematic at some particular point in time when that, MoDOT could press that issue anytime they want. And that particular entrance is at a very, very bad place. It's on a curve, it's on a downhill, and there's been a lot of serious accidents. I can't believe we haven't had a fatality there, but that's something else that needs to be looked into at some particular point in time. All these take money, and if we could just do this, we could be pretty smart. If you look at the map, it's very close on the north edge of Mr. Morris's property to BB Highway. You could go right, it would not take a huge amount of effort to just go right straight and connect up so that there were multiple ways in and out to access that property, and if there ever was a east-west corridor road, it would be a lot quicker to get to the interchange or to get onto Highway 65 rather than taking the 6-mile scenic route. It's just to come straight north and go over there, and it would be 4 miles of straight road rather than 6 miles of curvy road. So there's a lot of potential down in that area. And with the slow development pace that it had been pre-airport, and then airport comes when we have this recession, now it appears to be picking up. That may be able to be a shared resource kind of a thing where some of that can get developed. But it has a huge potential for revenue and jobs for Taney County. I think it's a place right now whose time has come. And I think that's probably something important to keep an eye on.
You mentioned, you sit there and you talk about grants and schools. We know that's going to happen. We know that the growth's going to happen. We talk about this that you're talking about on 86. We know that's going to happen. I mean, sooner or later, it's not a, maybe this will develop someday. No, it's going to happen because of the involvement of the Branson schools and big projects that's planned to the south. So those should be priority that go up on the priority list and try to maybe figure out what we want to do in that area.
One of the things that you would recognize, but I would say as a board we're very sensitive to, is we are sensitive to the east side of the county feeling like they've been left out of the equation. And speaking from somebody that has vested interest in the west side of the county, we understand exactly what you're saying, and we believe that, but we believe also, too, that there can't be winners and losers in this kind of equation, that we have to address what they believe is their priority issues, and that's why it's important to have people speak on behalf of these other districts, albeit them smaller. Though that may be the place where the county puts its money to help that smaller stuff, and then we work on leveraging big money for some of these other projects. But again, the board's had numerous discussions about making sure that actually in the prioritization meeting that day, there wasn't when we went to the MoDOT meeting at Branson that started the prioritization, there was not an East County representative there, and so the board actually got at least one, if not East County projects, and we had to stumble through it because we didn't even know what the dang project was exactly. What was the name of it?
Boy, I can't remember.
It was one that we had talked about here, but eventually we all pieced it together and we got one of those projects into that prioritization situation. But again, we want to make sure as we have these discussions, they go out across the county, that it doesn't look like everybody is forsaken East County, because that's farthest from the truth.
Well, I think, and I speak up at the danger of talking about the east side of the county, I think that's the main reason that the east-west corridor wasn't as successful as it would have been, because it didn't go to Forsyth instead of going just part way to the Kirbyville area and ending at that intersection. If there had even been a show of the road extension all the way to Forsyth, we've got to have a new bridge down here. We know that's going to happen. I mean, that's on MoDOT's list. So those kind of things in themselves would have brought more attention to what the east-west corridor could have done for the entire area, east and west, but it stopped in the middle as far as the way it was laid out, drawn out, and everything. So economic development for the future of Taney County would have been in progression at that point.
And that is, Forsyth's biggest hiccup as far as, Hollister sets in a great spot where their industrial park's at. They're on the highway. And that's our biggest problem over here. No one, and there's some people who could work some jobs over here, but no one wants to, because you can't get back to the highway with that. You can't load a truck and expect every pallet to be stand up by the time you get to 65. The roads you have to go out of. And
yeah, that'd been a big boost for Forsyth if that would have shown coming, you know, coming on across to where you can actually get back out to the road in a pretty safe manner.
I think we've demonstrated our concern with the eastern side with Little Water Bridge addressing that, Randy.
Well, there's another project that was mentioned, you brought it up, basically a safety issue, school buses, Bray Seal.
That was the that's the project that made, that's the one that made it, Bray Seal.
And currently, I mean, we haven't spent any money toward it, but basically I've already met with MoDOT. We've got a basic location that would be a good location to move that entrance, but next step would be, how do you put it ahead of some others that's on your list? You guys have to bring it up. I mean, I don't wanna, it's something that the county can do working with MoDOT. I mean, there's not a whole great deal of money that MoDOT needs to spend on it, basically, but we just need to move our entrance over County Road. It's a huge safety issue.
I think it's critical that we have someone from the District 3, Danny, as soon as possible in that particular area, to address that, those concerns over there. They're there every day or whatever, and can bring that to the table here.
We'll address that ASAP.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
The other thing is that maybe there needs to be some type of working between this board and PNZ to what's happening in the area in regards to transportation, how it's going to be affected. The South thing, for instance. We know that's going to happen, as we said a minute ago. And, you know, we've got a PGA event coming in here. That's going to impact a lot of traffic in that particular area, tremendous amount of traffic. And I'm concerned about that, how we're going to handle it.
As is MoDOT, right, Rick, because they've come to you?
Well, they've come to a lot of people, but we're less than 6 weeks away, 5 weeks, a month and a week.
And we discussed it at times, we discussed that, what is the responsibility of the developer in getting involved here in taking care of some of the impacts going to happen. So that's some other areas we need to address through our board too.
I know that the governor pledged a tremendous amount of support the day that they had that luncheon following the announcement, especially regarding the transportation issues, because he knew that we'd have major traffic, major problems, major challenges. And he was very positive. I think, which is in part of the reason why our tourism sales tax allocations creeping back up legislatively in Jeff City. But he promised everything, so it'll be interesting to see if that's worked out.
There's a little trouble in paradise up there with him right now.
That was a 5-year pledge from Mr. Morris on that project. Yes. And the success, I don't know how this first one's going to go with such a short time frame, but the planning, management, and everything of this first, the success of the first one is going to be a big player on how the next four go. So I'm interested to see how it works itself out. But
like, it was nice to have Nicholas Palmer and Watson all involved from the get-go with the top of the rock. So, I mean, that's just huge. This is huge.
Pretty unbelievable.
I don't think we really realize how huge it is.
This is.
But it's ours to lose. We don't want to screw this up. And we may not be able to be 100% in the time frame that we've got, but we need to do everything. It's incumbent on all of us to do what we can to make this, put our best foot forward. Because we're going to have one chance to make a first impression here. And we're going to see 20,000 people with money in their pocket that a lot of them have never seen us before. And if they can have a good experience, it may not be the greatest experience. I really look for year two to be substantially better than year one. But if they're satisfied with year one, they'll love year two. So, but we got to get by year one yet. So, and traffic jams and ugliness and all of that is not going to be a good first start.
Perfect.
if we can avoid all of that.
And we discussed that with this, and surely they're addressing that, but we don't know at this time.
There's a lot of construction going on out there.
Well, that's true, but we're talking about transportation and parking and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How do you handle that? Should they get somebody working on it?
We've got to have shuttles for people staying at the various hotels, getting to and from. And
we hope.
All right, gentlemen.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
I'm going to get a copy of that from Europe, Rick, upstairs. Yep. Gentlemen, if we could stand in recess until our exec session with the state auditor's office at 1:00.
Did they get, they told you that yet?
No.